I kind of tried to accentuate the very last line. I don't know if you ever followed him, but I just think it was kind of a little strange that when they met Jesus, they begged him to leave, like, get out of here. And we think that, of course, if Jesus were to have come here, or if you would have been there, you would have given him a big hug, most likely, right? You wouldn't have sent him away. But the reality probably is that if we had encountered Jesus like they did, there is this some sort of fear, because we're dealing with the motif of, you know, really good and evil. And it's sort of since the beginning of time. I mean, it's built in our really beings, right, about good and evil and this moral upbringing that we have. And one of the things that we do believe is that there really is evil in the world. And you could see when you take a look at the first part of that reading, a lot of times when I'm dealing with young people and that reading comes up, they want to know why they had to go into the swine and all the swine drowned. Didn't God like the swine, the pigs? And of course, if we understand that story, right, it's the uncleanness of the demons, the demoniacs, or the evil, the unclean of evil, returned back to what was considered an animal that was unclean anyway for the Jewish people. So they didn't have this love, you know. It's almost like, if anything, we'd say, and then they went into all the rats, you know, or all the cockroaches, and the cockroaches drowned. You'd be like, good, thanks. Because for the Jewish people, obviously, the swine were not considered clean animals. So they have different sensibilities than we have about that. But what we have here is a story of Jesus returning evil back to its place and its rightful place in the face of God, you know, in goodness. But we know that. I mean, sometimes there is just some people that are possibly maybe too good for us. It's too much. They stir too much trouble up. And so if it's too good, we want to kind of eliminate that, because they're speaking the truth that's just a little too hard to hear. A little more difficult. The next story happens, obviously, later on with John the Baptist. You have John the Baptist and Herod. And Herod, John the Baptist speaks the truth, and Herod and his wife can't deal with that, so they imprison him. And it's tough sometimes for us. It's tough something for me, you know, to hear somebody tell me something about myself that's wrong. Or maybe your wife or your husband telling you something that it was wrong, and that you want to fight back with that, or give an excuse why, or you want to, you know, come back with, yeah, well, you know, what about you, kind of thing. It's a way to kind of, when truth gets lifted up, when you have something, truth gets to be shown, rather than accepted in humility and consider it something that we have to work on, we would rather get it out of here. Yeah, shut it down, maybe trumpet or something with some bigger evil that you know that your wife or your spouse or your children are doing instead. I mean, I think it's a challenge for us to accept the fact that, you know, with evil, and that when it's in our midst, and goodness comes, something right, something that could be coming from God, is to not be so quick, I think, for us, especially if it's about us or something, some evil that we sort of have accepted, that we don't quickly shut God's voice down or the challenge to be something better, something holier, something good. Because it's really easy to be just like those people. When they met Jesus and they saw what he could do in their midst, they just asked him to leave. Because I like my little comfortable life. I even like my own little sins. I've come to like them. They fit my lifestyle now. But obviously, God's challenging us for something better.